This is the Anderson Files on PodClip. The Anderson Files is a look at commerce, investment, economics, and retirement issues that affect each and every one of you. Your host is Mike Anderson, Executive Vice President, Retirement Services, and partner of Finestone Partners. Finestone Partners is an independent firm with securities offered through Four Point Capital. And now your host, Mike Anderson.
Leaving California with your fortune intact. Claims of a so-called California exodus have begun again, spurred by tax hikes, ever-increasing regulations, and the recent departures of high-profile tech companies and other emerging industries. Beautiful weather here in California, the outdoor recreation, the social opportunities, the culture. These are difficult things to walk away from, but perhaps even more frustrating are the financial hurdles to a Golden State exit. Committing to a move takes time, money, determination, and forethought. On the subject today, I'm talking with Mark Pariser, certified public accountant and partner with Dunn, Pariser, and Payroll. When CEOs and celebrities need a thorough grip on their finances, Mark's regularly the person they call. The quarterback of the Dunn, Pariser, and Payroll financial team, Mark's proactive management style preserves and grows wealth while prioritizing the client's peace of mind. His approach lets them focus on making the best of their professional talents and personal lives. Mark's long history of reliable service has made him a go-to for clientele in and around Hollywood, from actors and directors to international executives and entrepreneurs. Mark, welcome.
Thank you.
As we get started, if you are leaving California, why is planning so important?
Well, let me give you some context here. First of all, you have the FTB, or Franchise Tax Board, mission statement, and their mission statement is to quote, help taxpayers file returns timely, accurately, and pay the correct amount to fund services important to California. So there's a culture at the Franchise Tax Board that basically says they're out to collect money. I want, as we're having this talk, I want the listeners to have the picture of a dog with a bone, and then think about the Franchise Tax Board pursuing a residency case. And it's easier to get the bone from a dog than it is to get the Franchise Tax Board off a residency case. So the reason why residency cases are so complicated is there's no bright line test in California tax law that says if you do this, you're a resident. If you don't do this, you're not a resident. So it's a very facts and circumstances driven determination. And the Franchise Tax Board will look at a number of factors, which we can get into later, and they will discount factors that point towards a person not being a resident, and they will overemphasize factors that point to people being residents. So,
Mark, for individuals leaving California, what group is typically looked at more often than not?
The higher the income, the more likely a person's going to get looked at for residency. Residency audits often come up in the context of people selling businesses, professional athletes who have ties in California but play on teams that are out of state. And they often will have significant ties to the other state. those are people that typically get looked at by the Franchise Tax Board.
And a trigger for them to be looked at falls, what's the trigger for them to for the state to be looked at more closely?
Typically, a California resident, particularly if they're selling a business, or even we've had professional athletes who lived in California, in the year they decide that they're not California residents, you file a California non-resident return, and there are a number of questions on that return that you have to answer. In particular, you have to tell them how many days you spent in California. Did you own a home in California? When did you leave California? The Franchise Tax Board uses these kinds of questions as a guidepost for deciding whether or not they're going to do a residency audit. Also, the amount of income on the return. As I mentioned before, higher income people are more prone to these types of audits.
And Mark, we're seeing an uptick in this type of Franchise Tax Board inquiry. Is it notably higher than what it was, let's say, 2 years ago?
I don't know that enough time has passed to say that it's noticeably higher. It's always been high on the Franchise Tax Board's priority list, are these residency audits. So I guess the answer to that question is, as more and more people leave California, audit frequency will increase in this area.
And going further, understanding what leaving California actually means, can we get into that part of the subject? What does it actually mean to leave the state?
Well, if you're in the state, you pay tax on your worldwide income. If you are not in the state, you pay tax to California only on what's determined to be California source income. So if you earn wages in California, if you sell real property in California, that's considered California source income. So no matter where you live, you pay tax on that income. But your wages earned in other states or countries, your investment income, you would not pay tax to California if you were not a California resident. Now, California has the highest state income tax in the nation. People earning north of $1 million pay 13.3% of state tax. But, you know, even middle class people pay a higher state tax than in most other places in the country. And our, you know, 9.3% is the rate that people pay earning north of $58,000 a year, and that 9.3% is higher than most states. So it's pretty expensive from a tax standpoint to be in California.
Leaving California with your fortune intact. I'm chatting today with Mark Perzer, CPA, and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Mark, to continue, could you talk a bit about the issue of domicile and how that's a part of leaving California?
Well, that is actually the center of just about every residency dispute. The simplest way to look at, to think about domicile is, domicile is the place where one intends to return. in a sense, it's where is your permanent home? So people who are domiciled in California are tax residents of California unless they are considered to be out of California for other than a temporary or transitory purpose. Now, that's also an issue, too, because that's very facts and circumstances specific, and it's prone to all kinds of interpretation. And those two issues, domicile and whether one is out for other than a temporary or transitory purpose, are the reasons why people have disputes with the Franchise Tax Board.
And with owning a residence in California, or if you continue to own a residence in California and then you move to another state, do you need to be careful about the use of that home, how it's used, whether you continue to own that property?
The Franchise Tax Board looks at maintaining one's personal or owning one's personal residence as one of the primary indicators of still being domiciled in California. A person can only have one domicile. So, and you keep that domicile until you've conclusively proved that you've changed your domicile. So if a person has their personal residence in California and they don't either sell it or rent it out, then the state uses the existence of that home as evidence that a person hasn't changed their domicile, and they'll try to hang that on the taxpayer and claim that they are still a resident of California.
Is owning a business in California also something that you need to be very careful about when you leave the state?
I would say the short answer is yes, but this is all a very nuanced issue, because what the state does is they analyze one's ties to California versus one's ties to other states, and having a business in California is a tie to California that the state could use as evidence that one is still in California.
And when taking steps to head off the California Franchise Tax Board, what would you recommend in terms of the approach, how to exit properly and thoroughly without missing and creating gaps in your leaving in the eyes of the FTB?
Well, if it is possible, cut all ties to California. You know, open up new bank accounts, change doctors, sell your home, join clubs or social organizations in other states, change your driver's license, change your voting registration, establish a new home in another state. The problem is longtime California residents often can't cut 100% of their ties. So my advice would be cut as many as you can.
And with that, can it also include issues of they've got remaining family that they spend time with here in California, business associates, or just the scope of their work or profession brings them back to California at certain times of the year simply because of what they do for a living?
I don't hear this. Recording, go ahead, Mark, answer the question.
Well, I don't see a problem. I'm sorry, we have to stop. I'm getting feedback where I'm hearing myself talk through the phone.
Hold on. I'll fix that. Go ahead and answer again.
Okay. I don't think having non-spousal family in California is a problem. So, for example, if a person's going to leave but they have their adult children are still in California and they want to come back and visit, that shouldn't be an issue, nor should it be an issue visiting one's parents. If a person's to leave but their spouse stays in California, that can be indicative that they really haven't cut their California ties significantly and that they're still domiciled in California. But as far as the business ties go, remember, any work that one does in California is considered to be California source income. So even if one is a resident outside of California, they would still pay tax on that portion of income that they do through their work in California.
Mark Perizer, CPA, is my guest today, and he's sharing with us the hurdles of a California state exit. This is the Anderson Files on podclips.io. Mark, to turn to if there is a flag that goes up, the California Franchise Tax Board makes inquiry. You had shared with me during our prep something called a residency audit. Could you tell us about that?
Yes. It's a very awful experience to have to go through.
To begin with.
It's really one of the most invasive audits that exist in the tax world. What the Franchise Tax Board does is they ask to see every single credit card statement so they could see the location of where the charges come from. They will ask for copies of bank statements so they could look to see the location of the various debits, as well as see if there's any checks that are written, where those checks are going to. They take a long time. They're very expensive to gather the information. There's extensive questionnaires about time spent in California, what the various ties are in California versus the various other states. It's not an inexpensive process to go through.
I would imagine it's fairly profitable for the state of California.
Well, I've not seen an instance where they undertake a residency audit and then they go, oh, never mind, you were right, you're not a resident. It's usually what a notice of a residency audit means is, hey, we're going to audit you for a residency, and we're going to go gather evidence so that we can claim that you're a resident as opposed to a non-resident.
Someone receiving it, their first calls should be to who? The CPA, financial planner,
yeah.
Investment advisor, an attorney?
It's typically the CPAs that handle tax matters, and so they should start with the CPA. Eventually, when they make their determination that one's a resident of California as opposed to a non-resident of California, that's usually when I start working with an attorney to prepare an appeal. Although sometimes, depending on the complexity and the dollar amounts involved, I may work with an attorney while I'm handling an audit.
I see. And how do most of these cases typically end? Do they end with some type of legal judgment, or is there a settlement?
Often there comes a point where it's less expensive to settle than it is to keep fighting. And I think that that's part of the Franchise Tax Board's game plan, too. Particularly with a high-profile person, they often don't want their name in the press as, you know, fighting a tax assessment. And the Franchise Tax Board knows it, too. I was involved in a case involving a high-profile actress many years ago, and we were having a settlement negotiation with the Franchise Tax Board, and they basically opened the conversation and was, well, we know your client doesn't want publicity on this. So they take a very hard line stance in their negotiations.
As far as you're aware, is the staff that covers this for these types of audits for the state, is that a growing department within California? Do you have a sense of them putting more resources into this area?
It is a high priority of there. So I don't know off the top of my head if they're actually adding auditors, but it does seem to make sense. You have high profile people like Elon Musk who have left California, and I would almost guarantee he's going to get a residency audit, and a person like him they're going to throw a lot of resources at that. So it makes sense logically that that's something that's going to happen.
And Mark, as we wrap up, is there anything in addition that you'd like to share with our listeners?
I would just caution people to take the possibility of an audit seriously. I remember there used to be radio advertisements years ago about, hey, setting up a Nevada post office box address as a way of getting out of paying tax to California. It's not simple, and the Franchise Tax Board is very aggressive. So I would say, if you want to leave California, plan.
And how can our listeners reach you to learn more?
Well, they can go to my website, which is dppcpa.com. You can Google me on LinkedIn and send me a message, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thanks so much, Mark, for the conversation today, and all the best with working with clients navigating their way out of California.
And thank you for the opportunity to speak.
Thank you, Daryl Wayne, engineer, Mark Allen, producer. I'm Mike Anderson, and this is the Anderson Files on podclips.io, powered by InfoGen Labs, Inc. Keep calm and keep listening.
You've been listening to The Anderson Files with Mike Anderson. Visit us at podclip.io and check on the financial box for more information on The Anderson Files.